Well, good morning, Bridgepoint. How are we doing today? Good morning. I am so thrilled to be here with you today. And right now, I want to introduce myself for those of you who don't know me. My name is Scott Davis, and I get the privilege and the honor to be the campus pastor of the brand new Bridgepoint Clearwater campus. Yeah. So I want you to help me right now as we welcome the Clearwater campus. All the good people, come on, let's hear it for them. Up in Clearwater, getting it done today. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Also, the Seminole campus, my good buddy Scotty Rogers, and all the good Seminole people, love you. You were my home before I had a home at Clearwater. Downtown, Trevor Lovingood, I know it's wild down here today. Good morning. Welcome to the downtown campus. And to Tyrone, I'm so glad you're here. Give yourself a hand. Michael Mischew, your campus pastor, is an awesome guy. I love him. And I want to thank Tim Whipple, our lead pastor, for giving me the chance and opportunity to live my dream and be here with you today. So the last, Christmas is over, right? By the way, did anybody go to Christmas at the Mahaffey? Yeah. How about that? Don't we have some talented people here? Let's give them a hand today. The worship is amazing. Love that. Had such a great time. But we made it, right? We made it through Christmas. You survived. I'm glad. So now the relatives are gone. The food is gone. The money's gone. So Merry Christmas, right? So we're going to look toward the new year, right? It's around the corner. Just around the corner. It'll be here. Not just a new year, a new decade. 2020. Oh, some of y'all went, ooh. So today, I want to talk to you about a subject, but first, I want to remind you, if you haven't been here in the last couple of weeks, to go back and check the archives, because Tyler Cross and Trevor Lovingood and our lead pastor, Tim Welple, did a great job preaching through what the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of Jesus brings through his birth on this earth. He lived and he walked through this earth. He died on the cross. He arose again to be our Savior, connect us with God, and give us a purpose in life, right? So that's what the overarching purpose of Christmas is. Yeah, come on, that's good. You can clap for that. So I want to hone in today as we wrap up this series, Wonder, the Magic, and the Miracle, on that word, purpose. I want to ask you a question as we get started. Are you fulfilled? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Do you feel like you're in your purpose? And you might say, well, Pastor Scott, I don't even know what that is. I mean, I go to work, I come home, I eat dinner, I help the kids with the homework, put them to bed, I get up, I go to work. It's just a cycle. And I've heard people say before, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm just trying to survive this thing. Well, I want you to know that God has a different word for you today. So this is what I want you to remember. God created you for a purpose that only he can fulfill. Get that now. He created you for a purpose that only he can fulfill. That's right. He didn't just think about you and went, hey, let's have another person. He thought about you and intricately made you with a design and a purpose on purpose. As a matter of fact, King David, the same king that was anointed king as a child, you know the story. He's the guy that took down Goliath, that King David. He wrote about this a lot in the Psalms. And one of my favorite is Psalm 139. He describes who God is and who we are and what that means to him. And we can't go anywhere that God is not. All these things, he talks about the greatness and the vastness of God. And so I love this part. I want you to read it with me. In Psalm 139, 13 through 16, King David said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Wow. Have you ever heard that before? All your days were written in God's book before they came to be. This day, today, was written in my book. It was written that I would stand right here and talk to you and that you would sit right there. It's written in his book. So what does that mean? How do we understand that? How do we figure that out? You know, we can go through life and do a lot of stuff, but are we really operating in our purpose that God designed us for? He wove us together and he made us for. That's the question. So about 20 years ago, I was just getting into the ministry. I'd been in ministry about 4 years, and I went to a conference in Atlanta, up in North Georgia. And at this conference, it was much like any other conference you ever heard about or been to. They had a keynote speaker and breakout sessions, and then they had a break, and you could go out and you could look at the vendors. They had Bibles, commentaries, software, all that stuff that would help young pastors or get through the ministry and tools for them, right? So I'm looking at all of it, and I look down at the end, and I see this name on this sign, Dario Perla. I thought, who is that? I mean, that's not a name you hear every day, right? Dario Perla. I got to meet this cat. So I go down there, and I meet Dario Perla, and I look at his line that he had there, all the stuff in his booth, and I found out that he was a professional clothing designer and that he made and designed clothes, tailor-made, custom-fit clothes, suits mainly at this conference. And I was chatting with him. He goes, hey, we're going to give away one of my suits. Why don't you fill out a card, drop it in the fishbowl? And I went, sure, why not? I've never won anything before. There's no danger in that. So I drop it in there. The next day, I'll go on about my business, and I'm at the conference, and they're doing the preliminary announcements that morning. And one of my buddies sitting beside me starts jabbing me in the ribs and goes, hey, man, they're calling your name. I'm like, what? They're calling your name. And I went, oh, man, I ran up there, and they gave me a certificate good for one custom-made, tailor-fit design suit by Dario Perla. I went, this is awesome, because he had told me that they started at $1,200. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I had to be there between 1 and 4 to get measured. So I walk up, shake his hand. He remembered me. I don't know why, but I talk a little funny. As soon as I walked up, these two guys started throwing tape measures on me. I mean, I'm like standing there, and they're just all over me. My ankles, my inseam, outseam, side, back, arms, wrist, neck, waist, everything. And I'm like, wow, that was quick. And they're writing it all down. He goes, pick out your color, pick out your style, pick out your fabric. He had these big books, and I'm like, I don't know. He goes, you're a pastor? I said, yeah. He goes, you need a black suit. Remember, Mary and Barry. I said, okay. It's timeless, made sense to me, so I picked black. I picked the style that was in style. 20 years ago now, I picked the fabric. And, well, let me just show it to you. I brought it today. I want to show you this suit. So the jacket is here today. The pants are here as well, but they're not coming out. Just the jacket. Look at this. This thing is 20 years old. You believe that? Look at the color on this nice fabric. I wore this thing for 20 years. But I want to tell you, he told me it'll be at your house in about a month. So in about a month, I got a box. I open it up. There's my suit. I'm like, yeah. So I put it on. And all of a sudden, I figured out what they meant when they said tailor-made, custom fit. This thing sucked to me like a leather glove, man. I was like, woo! It turned out to be a $1,400 suit, but it made me look like $1,000,000. I was feeling good. I was walking a little higher when I walked in this thing. I wore a lot. But the special thing I want you to see about this, the designer's name is Dario Perla. His name is in here. So I could brag on that, I guess. But look at this. He put my name in here. Woo! Exclusively tailored for W. Scott Davis. That's me. By Masters Apparel. This thing fits me like a glove. I've worn a lot of suits. Nothing fits me like this. Did you know that's the way your purpose is that God made for you? When you walk in your purpose, it feels good, and you look good doing it. There's nothing like it. And so when we walk in what God made for us, we understand the importance of how he designed us. And you say, well, Scott, that's a nice story. That's cute. I get the illustration. But you know, that ain't my story. That hadn't happened for me. As a matter of fact, I got through a few curveballs in my life, and I don't even know if I have a purpose anymore. Well, you know, God's purpose never changes, just like this suit never changes. We change. Somebody asked me the other day, can you still wear that suit? Well, I could till about 2 years ago, and we change, right? But God's purpose never changes. Somebody said, you should preach in that all day. And I said, get behind me, Satan. I'm like, that ain't happening. Don't laugh at that. That's not funny. So I went through, if you would allow me just a minute, I would like to share some of my story with you today. I grew up in church. As a matter of fact, my parents were two of the founding members of our church. And when I got to be about 8 years old, I was a little mischievous. I'll just stop here and tell you I'm a middle child. Any middle child children? There we go. You're going to relate. All right, so I got an older brother named Randy. He turned out to be the smart one in the family. I got a younger brother named Todd, and he's the baby. And you know what that means. So in church, I was there so much because my dad became the chairman of the deacon team, the deacon board. It's much like our elders here at Bridgepoint. And my mom became the church secretary or the administrative assistant to the lead pastor. So I kid around when I say I was there so much they gave me a key to the place when I was 8 years old. That's how much I was at church. But also, I got a little mischievous. I can remember some times that my mom sat in the choir, which was on the third row, straight in front of me. And there was nobody in front of us. We were the third row back, me and my two brothers. My older brother, Randy, he was probably reading his Bible and taking notes, doing what he's supposed to do. My younger brother, he's asleep. He's a baby. So my mom would be singing in the choir, and I loved to hear her sing, Amazing Grace. And now all of a sudden, she'd look at me and go, you better not move. I'd be staring. Because she knew me really well. And I would go, I'm going to take a nap. And I would disappear. Well, under the pews, this church had pews, big long benches. There was hardwood floors. And I would play a game I called Army. I'd get down on my back, and I'd wiggle my way all the way to the back of the church, zigzagging, zagging through people's legs. They're looking at me like, what's up with this kid? And I pop out at the back, and who's there? My father, Randall Davis. Didn't see that coming. He snatches me up by the hand, and we go downstairs. He's not talking at all. And I thought, okay, this might be cool. I'm going to spend time with Dad, and he's going to show me some inside stuff. We're going down to the basement. I've been down there before, and I knew what was down there, a bunch of Sunday school rooms. We go right past those to a room at the end of the hall, and it was locked. I know that because I've tried it before. He pulled his key out and unlocked it, and he opens the door, and there's these two air handlers. They're huge furnaces. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is great. And there's a tool bench over here. Look at all these tools. I'm like, this is awesome. Me and my dad, we're going to bond right here. We're going to have a moment. And I turn around. He's pulling his belt off. Let me just say for the weak-hearted in here, we had a moment. This was back before timeout. It's called a whooping in the South. If they'd been timeout, I'd been calling one right then. But he began to whoop me, not spank me, he whooped me. And at that very moment, it registered in my mind that my father is a genius. He took me to the only room in the whole church where he could whoop me good, and I could scream to the top of my lungs, and nobody's going to hear it. But it was also about that time in my life, I heard a pastor, actually it was an evangelist, preach at our church. And he talked about a young man. He even said he's 8 years old, and God's calling you to be a pastor. And I knew he was talking to me. God had told me. He already told me this. And it scared the daylights out of me. And so I did everything I could do to not be that. I grew up in my teenage years. I went the other way hard. And I'd made a lot of decisions, caused a lot of pain in my life. In my young adult life, I became a firefighter. Remember, middle child, need the action. I became a firefighter. I got married, had a couple of kids. And then at the age 26, I finally, truly bowed my knee to Jesus Christ. And I received him as my Lord and Savior. And it really meant it this time in my heart. And so he reminded me of that call. He called me back when I was 8 years old. And so I went to Bible college. I went to seminary. I became a children's pastor, a youth pastor, an associate pastor. I did a lot of stuff in the church. And I thought, man, this is it. I'm in my groove. I'm in my purpose. I'm doing it. And then all of a sudden, like you may be thinking, life happens. Some people in my family made some decisions that were bad, beyond my control, hurt me bad. Like a T-bone crash in an intersection, I got blindsided and knocked completely off the road. And so at that point in my life, I lost my home, I lost my wife, I lost everything. I was so mad. I was mad at God. I was upset. And I'm going to tell you, I made a decision that day. I chose to walk away from church. I chose to walk away from ministry. I chose to walk away from what I thought was my purpose, because now this has happened to me. And the thing that I had prepared my life for and give my life to, where are you now, God? What is this all about? What are you doing in my life now? So I chose to be angry in my pain. And I want to show you. I decided that day I was going to put my pain on every morning just like this. And it was heavy. It was heavy. And, you know, out of that pain came more unforgiveness. I put unforgiveness on. I wasn't forgiving anybody. I was mad. I was hurt. And then people came into my life. Some people that said they were Christians, church people, and they had perspectives that were just wrong. They would say things to me that were very hurtful and say, Scott, you need to get in church. And in my opinion, these people are called professors, not possessors, because that's the farthest thing away from Jesus that you can get. And I just want to take a minute and say, if you've ever been hurt by a Christian person or a church, on behalf of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to apologize to you, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm so glad that at Bridgepoint, we strive very hard not to be judgmental and condemning about people and their lives. We love them like they are. We're not perfect. You may have been hurt here. If you have, I apologize for that too, because there are some stupid people in this world, I think you'll agree with me, that won't help you. Yeah. And this happens. So I'm going through life now, and I'm having people say, you need to do this, and you need to do that. And I say, well, don't you see my pain? Don't you see my hurt? Look, I'm carrying all this stuff with me. Okay, I'll serve. Nah, I'm gonna do this, because this has become my life. It's actually become part of who I am. I don't go anywhere without this. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to grow fond of it. I think it looks pretty good on me. So that's the way my life was for 3 years. I went to church 3 times in 3 years. Every time I got up and walked out, because some stupid person said something stupid to me. And it hurt me even more. And then God said I needed some help, so he sent me an angel. Her name's Lori. She's right down here. My now wife, Lori, took me to church. I decided I would go because she's really pretty. I'll go anywhere with you. She had me. So we went to 12 Stone Church in Atlanta. Pastor Kevin Myers spoke. And that day I sat in the back, and the floor was concrete. And I remember this vividly, because I can even remember the shape of the puddle of tears I cried on that floor that day. God's love surrounded me. And I felt him pulling on these bags. He said, give me your unforgiveness, Scott. Give me your pain. I want it. And it was overwhelming. And that day I couldn't do anything else. I said, Jesus, I'm going to give it to you. I'm so sorry. I don't want this anymore. It's too heavy. I can't carry it anymore. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to give forgiveness like you've forgiven me. And I decided that day I made a choice to walk away from all of that baggage. I walked away. I stepped back into the purpose that God made me for. And it took a while. It took a minute. It's not immediate. But you got to make a choice. Here's what I want you to remember. Don't let the pain, people, or perspectives of your past rob you of God's purpose for your life. Because that's what's happening. Some of you picked up baggage along the way. Some of you have been carrying it. Some of you brought it in here today. You know you did. You've got it on you. It's heavy, isn't it? Some of you out there has had baggage for a while. If you're online, watching today, all the other campuses, here's the thing. You got to choose. You got to choose to walk away. Now, if there was anybody in God's Word who had a reason, in my opinion, to walk away from his calling, his ministry, his purpose, it was the Apostle Paul. Think about this. Before he came to Christ, he was a hired hitman. This is the guy that killed Christians. He actually held the coats for the people to stone the first evangelist, Stephen, as he preached the gospel. Can you hear him? Get a bigger rock. You throw harder. Somebody hit him in the head. Let's get this over with. Then he comes to Christ, goes to the same cities, starts preaching. How many looks do you think he got? Stupid comments. But he chose. He chose to walk in the purpose of God. And here's the thing. At some point, you have to realize, I'm not where I want to be yet, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Yeah? I want to read you something that Paul wrote in Philippians to the church at Philippi. He said, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do," say that with me, one thing I do, "forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Yeah. Yes. Paul decided that day to be a human being and not a human doing. So what do I mean by that? In the religious world, you get points for doing, but not with God. We need to learn to be with Him. Because when we're with Him, we learn our purpose. We can't do our way into it. Now, I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. We're coming up on New Year's, right? A lot of resolutions, it's all about doing. I'm going to try better. Let me know how it works out for you. Go to the gym this week and then go in February. It's a different place. Here's what I'm talking about. Not a New Year's resolution, a new you renovation. Amen. A new you renovation. The way you think, the way you walk, the way you act, the way you understand God. So to get to this point in my life, God took me through a process, and I want to share that with you. If you hadn't written anything down today, write this down. There's four things I want to leave you with. The first thing He took me through was worship. He said, "Scott, do you understand what worship is?" The day that I sat at 12 Stone Church and cried a puddle on the floor, and I realized for the first time who God really is. He's a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Come on. Come on, somebody. That He's a light in the darkness. That is who you are. That's who we worship. It's not just in church on Sunday, though. It's every day of the week when we go to our job. We worship because He's given us another day to live and to walk in our purpose. So we worship who He is, the greatness of Him. And the next thing is, we walk. We walk with Jesus every day. Have a place and a time that you meet with Him. Now, you might not know this, my wife loves to walk. And when we got together, she said, let's go on a walk. And I said, great, let me get a cup of coffee. Little did I know she was a power walker. I don't know if we got any power walkers in here. I had no idea. She began to drag me down the sidewalk, and I was like, we can't even talk. We can't have a conversation. I'm out of breath here. And so you can't hear, you can't talk. So the good thing to me about a walk, when you walk with Jesus, you can have a conversation. You get to know people, right? And so you speak to him, and he speaks back to you, and that's how we learn who he is and what he wants. And so you walk with Jesus, but you should also walk with other believers. We're about to start groups up again in February. If you're not in a group here at Bridge Point, get in a group. Walk. If you want to find your purpose, walk with Jesus and walk with other unbelievers or other believers. The next one is to work. That's a dirty word. I know some of y'all don't like that. I got to go back to work next week. I'm talking about serving our King Jesus. And the way you do that is through walking with him. You hear his voice. And whatever the need is in front of you, that's it. You don't have to pray about it. That's your invitation. When there's a need, you can fulfill. That's it. There's a lot of things you can serve God, even right here at Bridgepoint. All kind of serve teams. Check them out. Stop by the tent and ask about them. A lot of places. This is a process. We worship. We walk. Craig Groeschel, pastor at Life Church, calls these our lowercase p purposes. The little things that God asks you to do, if you're faithful in a small thing, you'll be faithful in a lot. And one day you'll find out you're walking in your capital P purpose, what you were designed and made for. And it's going to feel so good. And you're going to look so good doing it when you learn to worship and walk and work with him. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared for us in advance to do. He's already got them in advance. Remember, he's wrote it down in his book. So when you see it, start working, start serving. The last one I want to show you is watch. Watch for Jesus everywhere you go. Watch for him. He's out there. If you go to the grocery store, guess what? He's there. He goes to your work. He goes to your school. Watch for him. He's always working. You hear a conversation. Maybe this person needs prayer. Maybe this person needs a pat on the back and a smile. Maybe this person needs a hug. You got to be Jesus in this earth. So you got to recognize where he's at and watch for him. You also need to watch for him to return. This one gets me fired up. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and get you. And take you to be with me where I am, there you will be. That's the STV, Scott Davis version. But that's a promise. In Acts chapter 1, when he ascends back to heaven on a cloud, the angels appear. The disciples are standing there with their jaws hanging open. And they go, go, get to work, go do what he said. Because this same Jesus is going to return again in like manner. He's coming back. 1 Thessalonians tells us that all the believers that have ever lived and died and gone on before us, one day Jesus is going to come in the clouds with the shout of an archangel and the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ before us will rise. And then all of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him, and there we will meet him in the air. That's a promise. So, amen. Come on. I want to ask you how you're doing on these things. Are you worshiping him well? Are you walking with him daily, watching for him? Are you walking with other believers? Are you working? Are you serving? Will you see the place to serve? That's your invitation. How are you doing there? Are you watching for Jesus daily? And when's the last time you went outside and just looked up at the sky and thought about what he said? This could be the day. This could be the day. Don't be so in love with the world that you don't look for the return of your Savior. Because it's going to be far better than anything this world has to offer, I promise. I want to look for him every day. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it's a cycle. You find your purpose when your focus is on Jesus. You're going to find out that as you worship him, your heart, because it's a heart thing, you start to love him more. And love him more. I can spend 5 minutes with somebody and tell you what they love. I can spend 5 minutes with you and tell you what you worship. because you're going to talk about it because you love it. You're going to spend time on it because you love it. You're going to spend money on it because you love it. How are you doing in your worship? Worship of Jesus. How are you doing with your walk? Are you spending time with him every day? Are you walking with other believers? Are you in a group? A good group to start with is called Rooted. If you hadn't done it, get in that group. Get in that group this year, 2020. Not a new year resolution, a new you, renovation. And start your purpose. Then join a life group. Walk with other believers. Gain strength and encouragement from each other. That's what this is all about. This life's not meant to do alone. It's too much fun to do it with y'all. I love it. And the last thing is to watch for him every day. And when you do that, you start finding out that when you watch for him, you worship him more. When you worship him more, you walk with him more. When you walk with him more, you're going to want to work with him more. And when you work with him more, you're going to watch for him more. And it just goes in a cycle. It's a great thing. So as 2020 comes up this year, I have no doubt in my mind, some of you need to drop some baggage you brought in here today. This could be your day. This is your day. God's calling you today to drop the anger, drop the pain. Let's get on with life. Let's forget what's behind, like Paul said. Let's strain towards what's ahead and the prize that Jesus Christ has for us. Each one of us is intricately designed and made for a purpose, like this suit. And when you find it and you step into it, it's going to feel so good on you. It's going to fit you like a glove. And you're going to look so good doing it. So let's pray together. Father, we love you today, and we are so thankful that you love us enough to make us with a purpose. A very special purpose that only you can fulfill through us. That's why you created us. And God, there's no doubt in my mind today that there's a lot of baggage that needs to be left with you. So I pray that as we move forward in this service, that your will and way would be done in every single life. And you would gain glory and honor and praise because of it. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So as we thank you. So that's a little bit about my story. What's your story? Are you fulfilled? Are you walking in your purpose? If you would stand with me, we're going to have a final song here in just a moment. I want to ask you a question. With all your heads bowed and all your eyes closed, if you're here today, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you out. If you're here today and you got some bags you would like to drop for Jesus, would you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you today. Go ahead and lift it up. There you go. There you go. I see you all over the house. All over the house. We got hands. Drop the baggage today. You can put your hands down. Second question is, you say, Scott, I don't even know what you're talking about, purpose and God and relationship. And it's not about doing, it's about being. Here's the deal. The Bible tells us it's very simple to have a relationship with God through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is your Lord, you'll be saved. And what that means is you'll have a relationship with God in heaven and you'll spend eternity with him and he'll walk with you for the rest of this life. If that's you today and you want to say that prayer and have a relationship with God, maybe for the very first time in your life, just slip your hand up, put it back down. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You still have time. Make this your year. This is your year. This is the starting point. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for all the hands that were raised. Help us now to do what you're calling us to do, not to walk in pride, but to drop our baggage. I pray for all those that raised their hand and need a relationship with you, Father, that through this prayer, even now as we sing, they would say, Father, I give you my life. I believe in Jesus. I trust you and you alone to take me to heaven someday. I want a relationship with you, Father, through your son, Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.